Jesus. As we start this series, The Gift of Christmas Unwrapped, it really is all about Jesus. We often make it about other things, but it is about Jesus. When we think about Christmas, we usually just don't think about the Lamb of God. We think about a cute little baby in a manger. But to really understand the love of God, we have to understand why Jesus came into the world. Fully God and fully human. Some of you might think maybe we broke a light bulb during worship, but that's not the case. I wanted to use this as an illustration because for centuries we tried and tried to reach God. We tried with the law. Now, before I start this, I don't want anyone to have a heart attack. I'm not going to the top. But we tried with the law. We tried and tried to be good enough. We tried to read enough. We tried to study enough. We tried to pray enough. We tried to give enough. We tried to volunteer enough. We tried to tell ourselves that we were good enough. And no matter how much we tried, we couldn't get to where God was. We couldn't have that restored relationship with the Father, the thing our heart longed for. And in fact, the harder we tried, often the more frustrated we became because we can't. The prophet Isaiah says all of our trying, all of our goodness, all of our trying to be right is like a pile of trash. We just couldn't do it. And so Christmas reminds us this is the time where God looked down and said, "You can't, but I can." This is the time where God said, "You can't climb to where I am, but I'll climb down to where you are." And so he sent us the babe. He sent us the Lamb of God. At the very beginning, I want you to know this. If you don't remember anything, every time you look at a manger this year, I want you to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Romans chapter 5 says, "When Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death. And so death spread to everyone." Talk about a pandemic. Everyone sinned, but there's a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. You see, because of sin, we couldn't climb the ladder, but because of God's gift, he came down. "For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ." God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we're guilty of many sins. Paul writes in Timothy, "For there is one God, one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and that man is Jesus Christ." The only one who could take us to where we needed to be to restore that relationship is Jesus. And he came as the Lamb of God, and that Lamb is always enough. It's big enough for the world. It's big enough for you. It's big enough for your past. It's big enough for your sin. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Listen to this quote by Anne Voskamp. "So God throws open the door of this world and enters as a baby, as the most vulnerable imaginable, because he wants unimaginable intimacy with you. What religion has ever had a God that wanted such intimacy with us, that he came with such vulnerability to us? What God ever came so tender that we could touch him, so fragile that we could break him, so vulnerable that his bare, beating heart could be hurt? Only the one who loves you to death." The Jews saw the lamb as an innocent and a gentle creature, and God chose this sacrifice to reveal his love to the world. We're going to read a passage from John chapter 1, and I want to set this up a little bit, because if we don't really have a clear understanding of the Old Testament, we're not going to get this. When John had this conversation, when he recorded chapter 1, when he meticulously wrote it down, he knew that his audience would understand. Have you ever had a secret with someone and then something happens and you look at them and you know that they know that you know what they're thinking? A long time ago, I had a very unfortunate happening with a blue M&M that stained my lips. It was not pretty. My friends were there, and they thought it was pretty. So I was speaking at a conference, a large conference, and they all gathered near the front and painted their lips blue. So just at that moment, while I was speaking, I looked over, and there was a row of blue lips. Now, for those sitting in the audience, they don't have a clue what's going on. For me, I know. And I have a problem with giggling. It's not my finest moment. They were quite delighted, however. You see, because we knew. As soon as I saw that, I knew that they knew where this came from. It was something between us. Today, I want us to step into John chapter 1, and we're going to give some background so that we're going to know what John was talking about. Because if not, it just looks like blue lips. Like, did you stick your head in a freezer? John is walking around. He says this was John's testimony. We're talking about John the Baptist now. John the Apostle wrote chapter 1, and he's talking about John the Baptist. When the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" They had no right out. They just didn't know, and so they came right out and said, "Are you the Messiah?" He says, "No." Then they say, "Well, are you Elijah?" "Well, no." "Are you the prophet we're expecting?" John's just denying everything. And then they say, "By the way, who are you? And why are you baptizing all these people?" And then John said, "I'm the voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming." And the Pharisees who were sent to ask him these questions, they're now quite befuddled. And John says, "I baptize in water, but right here in this crowd, someone you don't recognize is coming, and he's going to baptize with fire. And I'm not worthy to untie his sandal." Now, this encounter took place near Bethany, near where John is baptizing in the Jordan River. The next day is where our scripture picks up. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and said, "Look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said a man is coming after me who is far greater than I, for he existed long before me." What did John mean when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world"? Think about that for a moment. Here's a man. He's a grown man. And John is there, and all of his followers and his disciples and perhaps those on the fringes who are trying to figure out who John is and what he's doing. And when John sees Jesus, he doesn't just go up to him and say, "Hey, bro, I'm your cuz." He says, "Look, behold." That's something to get our attention. "Behold, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, we know this, that the Lamb in Scripture is very important. It's used over almost 200 times in the Bible, 37 times in the New Testament. 28 of those references are in Revelation. That ought to tell us something. And what we know from the Old Testament is that the Lamb was most often referred to in terms of a sacrifice. There are 5 categories of sacrifices in the Old Testament: the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass or the guilt offering. And lambs were used in most of those offerings. There were daily offerings to God in the tabernacle, morning and night, according to Exodus chapter 29. There were Sabbath sacrifices that happened each week, according to Numbers 28. Monthly sacrifices on the first day of the month, there were sacrifices, Numbers 28 again. Yearly festivals, lambs were sacrificed at Passover, at Pentecost, at the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Booths. They understood what the significance of a lamb was. Now, David referred to God as the good shepherd, but how did Jesus become the lamb? Notice John didn't say, "Behold, there's the good shepherd. There's the one who's going to lead us." Instead, he says, "Behold, there's the Lamb of God, small, helpless, and vulnerable." The most significant meaning comes from the sacrificial lamb at the Passover. Now, when the Israelites were under slavery in Egypt, we're backing up our time, we're leaving the Jordan River and John the Baptist, and we're going back in time, way back. And the Israelites were in Egypt. And it started off being a good gig there. For 400 years, there was no war, there was no dissension, they multiplied like crazy. They were shepherds, they had their flocks, everything was good. And then the Bible tells us a Pharaoh came that didn't remember Joseph, didn't know who they were, and didn't like them. And he made their work miserable. Do you know how often God will sometimes make us miserable so we'll leave from one place to another? Listen, the honest truth is, in our humanity, if it's comfortable, we'll even sit in trash. And God makes it stink so bad we can't stand it. And they cried out to the Lord. And God sent them Moses as a deliverer. And God wanted his people to go out into the wilderness to worship him. And multiple times he sent Moses to Pharaoh to ask him to let his people go. However, each time Moses would ask, Pharaoh would refuse. And then God would send a huge plague over the land. He sent 9 of those plagues. And Pharaoh kept doing this yo-yo thing. You can go, no, you can't. You can go, no, you can't. And then drum roll happened, and the 10th plague came. The 10th plague changed the course of history and became a prophetic picture of deliverance from bondage and sin. We're reading in Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of the year. And tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share it with one nearest neighbors, having taken into account the number of people there are." Can I just stop for 1 minute? You know, sometimes we learn a lot by what isn't there. Do you notice that Moses, God is not saying to Moses, "And by the way, if the family is really large, get 2 lambs." Because the point is, the lamb is always enough. The animals you choose must be a year old males without defect. The animal must be pure, spotless, without blemish or defect. And the lamb is always enough. Reading again from verse 6. "Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood of the lamb and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And on that same night, I will pass through Egypt, and I will strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt, because I am the Lord. And the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." Again, in verse 23, "When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, and he will pass over the doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter the house and strike you down. The blood of the lamb saved them from the destroyer. The blood of the lamb set them free." Charles Wesley wrote in 1744, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. When we think of Jesus at Christmas time, we think of this cute, cooing baby in a manger. Everyone loves a baby. But God sent Jesus to be the sacrificial lamb for our sins so we could be restored as sons and daughters of God. Jesus is love incarnate. He redeemed us from the curse of sin. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 20. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, clamoring at the bottom of the ladder, trying to reach God. And it was not paid for with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, the spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. 1635, Francisco de Zurbarán, I'm sure I'm not saying it right, painted this picture. And that's like our Jesus. Have you ever tried to wrangle a toddler? I thought about this. I used to live behind a sheep farm when I was a missionary in Europe, and I would see those lambs, playful little things, but you try to wrangle them. And when I saw this, I realized that Jesus didn't fight. He didn't kick. He didn't bleat. He didn't try to run away, but he willingly submitted because that's why he came, and he was bound. Isaiah says he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That's the kind of God we serve. That's what love looks like, people. 1 Corinthians 5:7, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Jesus did not come into the world for his own pleasure or self-interest. He came for the sake of the least and the lost and the last. He came for you and for me. One of my favorite Christmas songs is by Chris Rice. Tears are falling, hearts are breaking, how we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, holy child. Hope you don't mind our manger, how I wish we could have known. Long-awaited, holy stranger, make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking, heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Fragile fingers sent to heal us. Tender brow prepared for thorn. Tiny heart whose blood will save us, unto us a child is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sins and make us holy, perfect Son of God, holy Lamb of God. Anne Vascomp says, Christmas is about God's doing whatever it takes to be with us. And are doing whatever it takes to be with him. He climbed down from the throne in heaven to get to you. Now you climb over the throes of heaven or over the throes of Christmas to get to him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. All week long, I didn't realize this, but I was singing this song. I don't know that I've ever looked at it in this perspective before. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come. An elderly British lady was 82 years young. She was ushered into heaven on September 22, 1871. Earlier in her life, her frustration at being an invalid left her feeling useless and questioning her very salvation. What she did next would echo through history. As a young woman, Charlotte Elliott was not sure of her relationship with Christ, not sure how to be saved, even though she had been raised a minister's daughter. A Swiss evangelist said, "Are you at peace with God?" That question haunted her. When she saw the evangelist a few weeks later, she mentioned she could not shake the question. And she protested, what could she possibly bring to God? And when he replied that she need not bring anything but herself, she gladly accepted Jesus. 12 years later, in 1835, she was crippled by illness and constant fatigue, and she felt saddened by her inability to help a local church's cause. She took out her pen and paper and wrote a poem to encourage others who perhaps felt like she did. And she wrote, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Her poem was published, and she was inundated with requests for it, and she was glad to discover that copies were being sold to raise money for the church. After her death, thousands of letters were found in her home, written by people whose lives had been transformed by those words. Her song became translated into thousands of languages, published in more than 1,600 hymnals. 60 years later, a 31-year-old man riding in the sidecar of his brother's motorcycle in England finally came to the end of his eternal struggle against whether Christ was indeed the Son of God. He knew in his soul that indeed Jesus was just who he said he was, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He realized that God calls us to come just as we are. And when C.S. Lewis stepped out of that sidecar, he was a new man saved by grace. 99 years after Charlotte Elliott penned those words, and 3 years after Lewis' conversion, a 16-year-old son of a dairy farmer in North Carolina listened intently as he heard the message of salvation. And when the song, "Just As I Am," was sung at the end, a young Billy Graham stood up and gave his heart to the Lord. 20 years later, Billy Graham had become a successful evangelist and was invited to speak at Cambridge in England. His nervousness over the event nearly led him to cancel it, but he was introduced to a kind man named C.S. Lewis, who encouraged him to disregard his critics who had spoken out and continue. Billy Graham went on to speak to an overflow crowd of 2,000 people each night at the revival. And when he returned again in 1989, he addressed a crowd of 80,000 at England's Wembley Stadium. As always, he closed the event with "Just As I Am." Please never think that you've got nothing to give to Jesus. When we look at the manger and see the Lamb of God who was so easily bound. You know, I believe he opened not his mouth for the slaughter because there was so much anointing in him. If he had opened his mouth, they might have changed their mind. They might have realized this is not just a man. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Jesus loved you so much, and God loved you so much that he wanted relationship with you. He sent the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. "Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come." Do you realize the most wonderful thing you could do this Christmas isn't decorate your home or go to a party or make a great meal, buy perfect gifts? The most wonderful thing you could do is kneel before the Lamb of God and give him everything. "Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of this mind. Yes, all I need in thee I find." "Just as I am, you will receive. You will pardon, cleanse, and relieve, because thy promise I believe. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come." With every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to ask you today, I believe even this morning in prayer, the Lord shared with me that there are many here who are just struggling this holiday season. And God is asking you to come. Love itself is inviting you into relationship. Perhaps you've been trying so hard to overcome that fear or that addiction, and God says, you come just as you are. The Lamb of God is waiting for you. If that's you, I just want to pray with you this morning before we share in communion. Would you raise a hand? No one's looking around. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I come just as I am. I give you my brokenness, my sin, my fear, and I accept your love and your forgiveness. Come into my heart, Lamb of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The ushers are coming to serve communion. What a wonderful day to take communion. Because it's because of God's sacrifice, the Lamb of God, that we are partaking today in communion. The bread, the body, the juice represents the blood of the Lamb. We sang this song earlier. I'd like us to go back to that. Agnus Dei, a song written by Michael W. Smith. You know what it means? The Lamb of God. Can we give him praise today? Can we worship the Lamb of God for all he has done? Ever. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Father, today we hold these symbols, your broken body and your blood that was shed. It cost you everything. And yet you freely give it to us. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. You freely give to us. Because you were so much more than just a babe in a manger. You were the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God wrapped in flesh. You were love incarnate that came down to show us what love was and to show us what it is. And you are still inviting us today. And we come as we are. And we bow before you, thanking you today, thanking you for your body that was broken for us, that you freely laid down your body. You were bound and you didn't kick and scream out of it, but you laid down your life freely for us. Father, we thank you for that, and we take the body now. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we cannot thank you enough for the blood that was shed, the blood that gets in our hearts, that washes the sin away, that blood that keeps the destroyer at bay, the blood that breaks the chain of death over our lives, the blood that ushers us into eternal life, the blood that is always enough for every sin we have committed, for every situation that we are facing. It is enough. And Father, we thank you today for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. But Lord, you came for so much more than just forgiving us of our sins. You came to restore a relationship that we might know you as Abba Father. We thank you today for the Lamb of God that was slain for our sins. Let's take the wine together. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lamb of God, we praise you today. Lamb of God, lift your voices and praise the Lamb. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what you did. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. And there was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. But no one in heaven or earth was able to open the scroll. And then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy. But one of the 24 elders said, "Stop weeping, weeping. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, he has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll." And then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but now it's standing between the throne. And you were worthy to take the scroll and break it, for you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe, from every language, and from every nation. Shall we join with the elders? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.